Well, we are jumping into a brand new series this week, but before we get to that, we got a few things we'd like to share with you guys. Now, if you're new, maybe joining us for the first time, over the last several weeks, we've been raising money and medical supplies to send with a team to Poland, right on the border of Poland and Ukraine, so that they can deliver those things, those goods, and they are there right now.
Right now.
Pastor Roy, a couple of our, and some of our team are there.
28 people, right?
So they sent us a little video clip just saying hi, that they made it there safely. Check this out.
Hey, Washington Heights, the Poland team made it to Warsaw. We have all the supplies that you donated, and we're going to get them to the people who need them the most. Thank you, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks, Washington Heights, for the huge amount of medical supplies. We get this set up already to get them to Ukraine next week. Our friend Slavik is going to take them across the border. Probably on Wednesday, he comes 3 times a week, so we'll figure it out. And then we'll get him to, some of them will go to a Christian Medical Association in Lviv, where they'll be sorted and then delivered to other hospitals. A small amount will go straight to some of the field hospitals where we have contacts. So really grateful. This is a huge blessing for us. So thanks so much for doing this for us.
Isn't that awesome?
That's awesome, man. 70 bags.
How many people went?
28 people went, about 70 bags.
70 bags of medical supplies. You guys, that's amazing.
Yeah, Roy didn't let me go, so I put all the CBD oil in his bag. Okay. Think he made it. Hopefully he'll make it back.
You know, one of the things we did was we were raising money for pallets of food, and the last number that I heard broke $150,000. Yeah. You guys, incredible.
All for food. Awesome.
So we got something coming up.
So in a couple of weeks, we have a 5K here. We partner with an organization called Love Justice. Love Justice has monitoring stations around the world to prevent human trafficking. Well, guess what's just massively increased in Poland, you know, between the border? Human trafficking. Yeah. So what we're looking at doing is actually supporting a monitoring station for about a year. It's about 15,000 or so. So your participation in the 5K, the proceeds will go to that. And you can sign up. You don't have to come. It's cheap.
Plus you get one of these sweet shirts.
I mean, who doesn't want one of these, huh?
All right. Who wants this one?
Okay. Come on, let's see some hands, people. Roy's not here. There we go.
Heads up.
Best thing about Roy being gone is there's just more freedom.
We can do whatever we want.
I mean, it's unbelievable. It's like the kids are in charge, huh? It's awesome. Sign up for the 5K. We want to see you there. There'll be food trucks. And what will it be that night?
So right after the 5K, we're going to do an outdoor night of worship, a concert. We're going to have a big old stage. It's free. Just bring a chair. Come and enjoy it. Yeah. Myself and our worship team, we're going to be there just having fun, rocking out.
It's killer. Food trucks, bring lawn chair, cooler, everything.
And then the following morning, Sunday morning, we're going to have a single outdoor service at 10 o'clock. Bring a chair and just come come worship and have fun with us. And it'll be a great day.
It's going to be a great time.
Okay. All right. Thanks, bud. Well, we are jumping into this series called Killing It, Killing the Things That Kill Us. And I got the short straw this week and get to talk about anger and bitterness. Hey, everybody's favorite topic. But it is real, right? We struggle. I know for me personally, that's something I struggle with. This was a tough message to prepare because anger is kind of one of those quick things that I go to, unfortunately. But we all hang on, and when we let that bitterness just stew in our lives, it just becomes cancerous and eats us alive from the inside, the more that we hang on to it. And so we're talking about, how do we kill those things that are just eroding our lives? How do we get rid of it? How do we fight it? How do we combat it? And it all starts right here in the Word of God. I'm going to talk about a story about a man named Moses today. I love Moses because he's just real. You know, God asked this huge impossible thing of him. He said, I want you to go and bring my people out of slavery. The Israelites had been enslaved for over 400 years, and God asks Moses to go and present himself before Pharaoh and ask for the people to be released. And if you've read the book of Exodus or spent any time, maybe you're familiar with this story, but it's pretty intense. And from the get-go, right at the very beginning, Moses is kicking and screaming. He does not want to do this. He's like, God, I don't speak very good. I don't talk very good. I'm kind of nervous. Who are they even going to believe what I have to say? Who do I even say sent me? He just, all these excuses, everything he could think of to try and get out of it. And God says, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. In fact, I'll even send somebody with you to speak on your behalf. It's going to be okay. So Moses goes, gets the people, and they go into the wilderness. And from pretty much the first day they're in the wilderness, the people start complaining. They've just been freed from slavery. All they've known is a lifetime of slavery, and they've been freed, they're not captives anymore, and the first thing they start doing is griping and complaining. How are we gonna eat? Where are we gonna get water? Where are we gonna get our food? And Moses goes to God multiple times and is like, God, what am I even supposed to say to these ungrateful people? If you've spent any time on the road with kids in your car, you can probably relate. If I have to turn this car around. They spent about 40 years wandering the desert. 40 years of complaining, people being ungrateful, whining about all the stuff that they're dealing with. And the funny thing is that it was their lack of faith that kept them in the desert for 40 years. They had an opportunity to cross over into this land that God had promised to them, but they got scared. They said, oh, there's too many people. They're big. They're mighty warriors. There's no way we can do this. And God says, because you chose not to trust in me, now you're going to go wander the desert for 40 years. Where we're going to pick it up today is they're near the end of this 40-year span. Moses has been leading them the whole time. The whole time they've been griping and complaining like a bunch of spoiled kids. In fact, there's times where Moses is like, God, I don't want to deal with these people. Can you just like take me out? It'd be better if I weren't here. Let's just get the show on the road and get me out of here. And God's like, I will be with you. I will walk with you. So it's nearing the end of 40 years. Moses' sister, Miriam, just passed away. So he's heavy heart. Struggling 40 years, that's a long time to be wandering through the desert. And once again, the people come before him and they complain. And they basically say, did you just bring us out here to die? Where are we gonna get water for ourselves and for all of our cattle? We're dying here, where's the water? Give it to us now. And you can just feel the rage build up because all you wanna do is smack. And so once again, Moses and Aaron come before God. In fact, if you look at Numbers chapter 20, it says, this is God complaining, or I'm sorry, not God complaining. This is the people complaining to Moses. Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into his wilderness that we should die here, both we and our cattle? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place for grain or figs or vines or pomegranates. And there is no water to drink. Wham! I want my stuff. That's what it sounds like. And that's how Moses is taking this. It says, then Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron, your brother. And tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them and give drink to the congregation and to their cattle. And Moses took the staff from before the Lord as he had commanded him. Right? You could imagine Moses and Aaron, they're going before God. God, they're at it again. I don't even know what to tell these people. They're so ungrateful. What do I even do? They're complaining again. I'm going to turn this car around and take them back to Egypt if they don't stop complaining. God, help me out a little bit here. And God says, I love God. Go speak to that rock. No, they need water. Right, go to the rock. Okay. The rock and the water, okay. I can imagine a little bit of confusion on Moses' part, but they do. But in this next section, you can just feel the bitterness that has been building up in Moses. eating him alive, eroding his heart for the last 40 years. Look at the next verse. It says, then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels. He's not addressing the people very politely. Now, in what was originally written, that word rebel, he's basically calling them a bunch of pagans. This nation of people who is pretty religious, right? They're the Hebrew people, they're the Israelites. These are the chosen people of God, and they've been given this law, and they have all these practices and all this kind of stuff. And so he's basically blaspheming them to their face, calling them rebels or pagans. Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice. What did God tell him to do? Speak to it. He didn't tell him to hit the rock. And I could imagine just this rage in Moses. I'm just baseball bat, just, you want water? Here's your water, you little jerks. Maybe not that far, but. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, them and their livestock. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. That's a big blow for Moses. His frustration, his anger, his bitterness that caused tunnel vision. All he could see was red. He was frustrated and he did not trust in God. He took his into his own hands how he wanted to do it. And God said, I need you to trust me. And because of that, you won't lead the people into that promised land. After 40 years of wandering through the desert. And I read that, I'm like, man, that's pretty harsh, God. Like, but we have to remember that we stand before a holy God. And what he says, he means. But it made me think of this question as I was studying for this message. How many opportunities have you been robbed of because of your anger or bitterness? How many opportunities maybe with your children when you've gotten so frustrated, or with your spouse or significant other, or at your place of work, or at school, or wherever you may find yourselves, how many opportunities have you been robbed of because of your anger and bitterness towards someone else? My wife and I were driving about a year and a half ago, and we're in our big red, we had a big red passenger van, 12 passenger van, and we were over in Roy, and traffic came to a stop, and we're just sitting there at the light, and I heard it before I felt it, just that, boom, somebody rear-ended us, our neck snapped forward. And so I'm immediately just totally frustrated, and we pull over into this parking lot, and I get out of my car. And I said a few things that I can't repeat in this room because pastors are people too, and I lost my temper. Sorry. But it's real. It happened. And I knew immediately, as soon as I said it, I was like, Mike, what do you think? Come on, man. You didn't need to do that. And then we had to stick around and wait because our van was completely fine. The front end of his car was gone. But he called the police, and so we had to wait. And in the process of waiting, we got talking. And he was telling me, I felt so bad for this guy. He has kids that are teenagers and driving, and this is the third car in his family that's been wrecked because of poor driving. I'm like, well, maybe you should stop driving altogether. And we got talking a little bit, and then he asked the question that I didn't want to answer with everything inside of me. And you could probably guess what that question was. So, what do you do? Actually, and I thought about lying for a minute. I thought about it, but then I thought for sure, like God's gonna strike me down. I said, I'm a pastor. Oh, it hurt just saying it. And you can see kind of the bewildered look on his face. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry about what I said. I just got frustrated. But I can't help but wonder, and I often think about that day. Did I lose an opportunity? Rather than getting angry, to have shared the love of Jesus with this man. And that thought haunts me. How many other opportunities have I lost out on being able to share Jesus and his compassion, his grace, and his mercy, his love, because of my own bitterness and my own anger, my own frustration? So, how do we kill anger, right? We're never gonna get rid of it. There's gonna be things in our life that are frustrating and cause anger, but how do we combat it? How do we fight against it? And especially the bitterness that tends to brew up within us, the more that we chew on it and process it and like to hang on to it and cling on to it. How do we get rid of that? Because that will erode your life. It is toxic and it will just ruin you and eat you alive from the inside. I think at first, at the heart level, we have to understand that it is our pride that is at the heart of all sin. Our pride, how we view ourselves, is a precious thing. And if you attack my pride at the core level, our natural reaction, how we want to respond, what the world would tell us to do, is to lash out and act differently, or to protect our pride or build up our pride. And so, when anger, rage, and bitterness is the improper manifestation of emotions, when we perceive our pride to have been attacked. If you look back in the Bible, how did Satan tempt Eve? He tempted her pride. He didn't tempt her with nice things. He tempted her, hey, he said, hey, if you could be more like God if you take a bite of this fruit. Surely you won't die, you'll be more like God. He's trying to build up her pride. He's tempting her with his pride. How did Satan tempt Jesus when he was in the wilderness? With his pride. He said, you're God. You could do all these things. And the angels will protect you. You can turn these stones into bread. How do you tempt an all-powerful God? You tempt him with his power. And so knowing that at the heart level, when we want to respond in a negative way, it's when we have perceived our pride to have been attacked. So what do we do about it? How do you respond when your pride is attacked? How do you combat that? In the book of James, Jesus' brother, he says this, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Now, when you go and look out at our culture, our society, what would be considered normal and how we should respond, it would say, well, if somebody talks bad about you, you go talk bad about them. If somebody slaps you, you slap them. If they hit you, hit them back. You don't put up with that. In fact, what you should do is just shun everybody, put up the wall, push them out of your life, get rid of that negative energy. You don't need that. You focus on you, and it tells us to turn our gaze inward and focus on ourselves. And so we do. We sit behind a keyboard or a computer, blast negative comments at people or present things that are wretched and horrible. Or we allow the bickering and arguing and fighting with our spouse or significant other. Or we hold those grudges against our kids because they didn't respect us enough or they were talking back at us or whatever. And we choose to hang on to that bitterness and it eats us alive. When Jesus was giving one of his messages, in fact, one of his most popular messages called the Sermon on the Mount, he basically took what these Israelite people knew. They had been studying and practicing this way of the law for hundreds and hundreds of years. And he took this and he presented this idea of what the kingdom of God is like, and he basically flipped it completely upside down, and they weren't expecting what he had to say. Because when it comes to bitterness and holding grudges and being angry towards people, here's what Jesus had to say. Luke chapter 6 says, "But I say to you who hear," and I love that opening phrase because this is not easy to hear, "but if you do, what God can do through it, through your life, is incredible. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you." What? Do you have any idea what some of the things people have said about me or have done to me, and you want me to bless them, to do good to them, to pray for them? Absolutely not. But these are the words of Jesus himself. You want to learn how to combat bitterness? You combat it with compassion. And it would scream completely opposite the way that our world turns right now. This is not the way the world lives, but we are called to be different. "To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, so do so to them." I grew up in the church. I've had a Bible in my hand since I can remember. And I've heard and read this verse more times than I could count. And I can't even tell you how many times I've heard that verse, and then I go out and get rear-ended and scream my face off at somebody saying things that I can't repeat here. And how many times do we do this? Maybe this is a verse that you know about, that you've heard as well. And we hear it, and we go, "Yeah, that's a great idea, but there's no chance I'm doing that." Because it's so opposite to how we would normally operate. But here is Jesus, God in the flesh, saying, you wanna live the way that I've been told and commanded for you to live? You wanna live the best life possible that I have available for you? It starts with compassion. You wanna learn how to get rid of bitterness and anger that's been building up and just festering in your life? Compassion. So how do we move from anger to compassion? How do we move from getting rid of that bitterness and letting go of those grudges that we hold on to? Those things that we would just, how many times have you had that conversation with yourself, right? Where you're arguing with somebody in your mind and you're just dropping bombs left and right on that person. But then when it comes actually time for it, you just ignore it, right? You don't say those things, or maybe you do. How do we move from hanging on to these grudges and thinking these anger, bitter, evil thoughts towards other people? It starts with spending time learning about who this God is. Understanding the heart of God and his continual, unending love for every single one of you. You want to move from anger to compassion? Pray for the people you struggle with. And not pray that they would like get struck by lightning or fall down the stairs, but like pray for their life to be blessed. Have you ever done that before? If you want to feel and experience God moving in your life in a completely new way, start praying, genuinely praying for the people that you struggle with, for their lives to be blessed, to be successful. And God will take that and he will do something within your life. He will transform your heart from a heart of hard stone bitterness. And he will start chipping away and melting your heart to be full of compassion and love the way that he has lived and taught us to live. Start praying for the people that you struggle with. And I guarantee God will do something in your life. Who do you surround yourself with? Surround yourself with and participate with a community of compassionate people. Who are the people that are speaking into your life? Is it other people who are full of bitterness and anger and rage and would only like to talk behind other people's backs and gossip and slander other people's names? Or are they people who are full of compassion who want to also love the way that Jesus has loved? I guarantee when you surround yourself with people who want to genuinely join in with you and being compassionate towards other people, your life will start to look a little bit different. A little more positive. When all else fails, look to the example of Jesus. You know, the night that Jesus was arrested, he had dinner with his disciples. We often call it the Last Supper. And they gathered together and they broke bread and they spent time together. And then Jesus does something interesting, and I want to read this passage. John 14, it says this. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Here Jesus is having dinner with his closest companions, spending his last hours of freedom with them, knowing full well in their midst, one of them was going to betray him. And he knew who it was. And yet, he proceeds to wash his feet also. This isn't normal for us. This isn't a normal reaction any of us would normally do. If you think about the person who has hurt you the most, who you carry bitterness towards the most, does washing their feet play out in that picture at all? Because that's what Jesus did. If anyone has right to be anger or have bitterness towards somebody, it's Jesus, because here he is sitting with a person who has traveled and journeyed with him for the last 3 years, who has witnessed miracle upon miracle and lives changed and the love and compassion of Jesus poured out and spoke about for 3 years, and he's gonna betray him. If Jesus had every right to be bitter, and what did he do? He washed his feet. He loved him. He poured compassion out upon him. And that's what he's calling from every single one of us. To the people who would speak bad about us, talk behind our back, slander our names, hurt us, cause pain in our hearts. Jesus says, yeah, them. I want you to wash their feet too. I want you to pray for them. I want you to do good to them. Let me ask you a question. Are you tired? Are you tired of being angry and bitter? It's exhausting. When you hang on to that much bitterness and that much rage and that much anger every single day, it's exhausting. Aren't you tired? With Jesus, anger and bitterness will melt away when you choose to love others the way that he did. When you choose to pour out of yourself, to not bring it self-centered and self-focused like the rest of our world would say to live, but to live outwardly, pouring out love and compassion. That's what Jesus did, and that's what he's calling for every single one of you. You want to move beyond hanging on to bitterness and allowing it to just corrode and eat away at your life. Start loving on the most difficult people, and miracles will happen. We've got a small opportunity right now to love and show some compassion on some folks. I'm sure you've heard of a couple of mass shootings that have taken place. One of them was a man in Buffalo. It was the shooting at the supermarket. He was a deacon at a church at State Tabernacle Church. And then there was another shooting at Laguna Woods at a church. And one of them died. I think five others were injured. And so what we want to do today is to just love on those two churches just a little bit. We've got tables out here, and I don't know if you saw the table when you walked in, but we have cards that we just want to write to the folks that were involved, and we're going to send them to those churches just to pour out a little bit of love and a little bit of compassion, just like Jesus would do. And so on your way out, stop and fill out one of those cards. Would you bow your heads with me? God, it's one thing to talk about loving and being compassionate towards those who would hurt us, to the ones that we would have bitterness and hold anger towards. But God, it's another thing to actually live that out, to actually pray for those people that would harm us or cause pain in our lives, to be willing to wash their feet and to genuinely show compassion and love. And so God, we pray that your presence would fill our lives, to move and draw and steer our hearts in that direction, rather than what the world would tell us to do, to retaliate, to spit back, to fight back, that we would let down our guard, that we would soften our hearts and bring even our enemies in and love on them with the same kind of love and compassion that you loved each and every one of us. And maybe there's some here in this room this morning that have never made that step of placing your faith in Jesus. And I want to offer that opportunity right now. So God, we admit that we are sinners, that we are a broken people, desperately in need of a Savior. And that when we place our faith in you, you restore us back to the heart of God, that you make us right with God. And so we believe, we choose to take that step of faith and believe in Jesus as our Savior. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your forgiveness and your unending love for each and every one of us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.